from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve Online. Verve comes at you from the heart of Las Vegas. We are church for people who don't like church. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor of Verve. Thanks for joining us today on Mother's Day. Man, special shout out to all the moms. Today, we're actually starting a new series about one of the really cool women in the Bible. And we are so thankful for all the really cool women who are moms. We know how challenging being a mom is, especially this last year. And we are grateful for you. In fact, I just want to take a minute to pray for moms, and then we're going to just jump right into our new series, okay? So let's pray. God, I was raised by a single mom. I appreciate so much moms and all the really cool moms who are watching today. I also know that for a lot of women, Mother's Day is a difficult day for all kinds of reasons. And so, God, I just pray for all the women watching today. I'll pray for all the men too, that you would do something really cool in us through this service today. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to start with scene one of a movie that we're going to make. I'll explain. But first, what is your favorite movie scene of all time? Favorite movie scene. If you want to put in the comments, actually, what is your name and what's your favorite movie scene? It'd be fun to connect with each other. What's not your favorite movie? What's your favorite movie scene? Do you have one of those? So I actually did a little research, did a little Googling, and I looked up what are the most famous movie scenes, most famous movie scenes. I'm going to share a few. You decide if they're that famous or if you like them. You can put that in the comments as well. Number one, the shower scene from Psycho. Pretty well known, even if you haven't seen the movie. Number two, the opening scene from The Sound of Music, which I don't think it's because of the actress, Julie Andrews. I think you could put anyone in that beautiful location and it would be great. Another most famous scene, the door scene in Titanic. Now look at that picture. There is plenty of room on that door for two. Rose killed Jack. Jack, Jack, go freeze to death, Jack. I'm not going to just scoot over to save you. Another of the most famous movie scenes, I am your father. No, no. I just realized maybe you haven't seen that yet and I just spoiled the movie. Well, it came out 41 years ago. Sorry, not sorry. All right. Well, those are some really famous movie scenes. And I wonder this. Is there a movie you wish would be made? You know, like a famous person or a famous story that's just screaming for a big time movie to be made about it. Well, today I want to start telling you about a movie that must be made. In fact, I'm going to kind of make it in my head. You'll see. But the screenplay for this movie we're going to talk about for the next couple weeks comes straight from the pages of the Bible. However, like, this movie has to be rated R. It's got 10 wild parties, drunkenness, sex, violence, political power, intrigue, irony, plot twists, and basically no religion. It would be a blockbuster. The Old Testament book it's based on is called Esther. And I think I would title the movie In the Shadows. And that's what we're going to call this series. So, scene one, act one, we begin at a royal palace, which is the setting for a royal party. The first character we meet is Xerxes, the king of Persia. Now, if you've studied ancient history, you may remember Xerxes. He's the bad king depicted in the movie 300. Xerxes reigned in Persia from 485 to 465 BC. His kingdom extended from India in the east all the way to Ethiopia in North Africa. He reigned in a time when the Persians were the big boys on the block and the Greeks were the up-and-coming giant killers. So in this movie we're making, we have to cast the part of Xerxes. And scholars guess he was maybe in his 40s. We're going to see he's distinguished, but he can be like a little crazy. So who to play this powerful king? We're giving the part to Joaquin Phoenix. He played a king in Gladiator. He killed it in Joker. He is our King Xerxes. So In the Shadows, starring Joaquin Phoenix as King Xerxes. Okay, you going there in your head? Thank you. Now, King Xerxes was a wild man. I mean, he parties, he drinks. He's the kind of guy who says, 24 beers in a case, 24 hours in a day. Coincidence? I think not. In the third year of his reign, he throws this Mamba Jamba party, inviting all of his military leaders and princes and political leaders. Like, you can picture the party, right? No, the party did not look like that, but he did throw a big party. What's the longest party you've ever been to? You could put that in the comments if you want. Longest party, most parties, a couple hours. Some of us have probably been to parties that lasted all night. Well, Joaquin Phoenix, as King Xerxes, throws a party which lasted, we're told in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 4, for a full 180 days. How bad of a hangover do you have after a 180-day party? What do? At the end of a 180-day party, you crash, right? You go to sleep for 8 or 9 weeks. Not Xerxes. He throws another party, this one for 7 days. He throws a party to celebrate his party. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink in his own way. You can drink with your hands, you can drink with your feet. I think it means like there was an open bar. For the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. After 180 days of partying, King Xerxes is drunk and he does something stupid under the influence of alcohol that he never would have done if he was sober. No one can relate to that, right? Xerxes starts thinking about his queen. Big surprise, drunk guy starts thinking about women. By the way, this 187-day party that the king threw, it was an all-guy thing. Now, we still have all-guy parties, like a bachelor party, but a 187-day all-guy party? I don't know. When the king had a party back then, the queen would throw a party for the wives, and you can kind of picture that party. No, that the party probably didn't look like that, but the queen having her own party was the custom of the culture. So check out what happens at verses 10 and 11. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the 7 eunuchs who served him to bring before him Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. Big mistake. He wants to show her off like she's some sort of award-winning fish. So drunken Joaquin Phoenix says, get me my wife. And probably what he was going to have her do was some sort of dance before all the men, whatever dance was cool on TikTok that week. So into the movie comes the part of Queen Vashti. The part of Queen Vashti was not as easy to fill as King Xerxes. There were a lot of actresses interested in the part, not enough good roles for women, and it was difficult finding the right person. The one thing we're told about Queen Vashti is that she was beautiful. So, being an intelligent married man, I decided that I should not pick this role. I asked my wife to decide. She gave some consideration to Priyanka Chopra, but in the end, she chose Gal Gadot, because she's Wonder Woman. So we have Joaquin Phoenix as King Xerxes, who's married to Gal Gadot as Queen Vashti. And Joaquin calls in Gal to show off her beauty, maybe do a little go-go dance. And the beginning of Esther chapter 1, verse 12 says, but when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. And everyone said, amen. She's right in not coming, because no man can force a woman to do something she doesn't want to do. But King Xerxes doesn't agree. The end of verse 12. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. He's like, you respect my authority. He's embarrassed. He's not happy. He is the most powerful man in the world, and he's not used to hearing the word no, especially not from his wife. So he gets his lawyers together, and he asks, verse 15, according to law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? She hasn't obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. And Xerxes is not a man to mess with. It doesn't matter who Vashti is. It doesn't matter that they've been married for years. Doesn't matter that she's the queen. Doesn't matter if she's won every beauty pageant in Persia. His power has been challenged, and he won't stand for it. Well, he asks his advisors, and they exaggerate. Check out what they say. The queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. And that's stupid, right? But Xerxes just wanted an excuse to rationalize his hostile response to Vashti. So they convinced Xerxes, who didn't need much convincing, that it was right for him to vent the full force of his vengeance on Vashti and to banish Vashti from the kingdom. And he does it. There's a quick divorce. She's gone. And old Joaquin Phoenix, King Xerxes, is now a king without a queen. Fade to black. That's scene one, act one of In the Shadows, this movie that we're making. And already it's kind of interesting, right? You've got this power-tripping king who's drunk all the time. You've got this beautiful queen with a mind of her own. The one thing we haven't got is God. And there seems to be nothing spiritual here. It's more like a Jerry Springer show than a book of the Bible. Today on Springer, my drunk husband divorced me because I wouldn't dance naked in front of him and all his friends? I don't think so. Jerry. Right? We certainly don't have God here. Or do we? It's interesting. Check this. God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. It's the only book of the Bible where God is not mentioned. But God is all over this book. A poet once wrote about God being in the shadows, keeping watch over his own. And we see that if we read between the lines all through the book of Esther. God is behind the scenes. He's massaging the details. He's orchestrating circumstances, achieving his purposes. God was in the shadows, keeping watch over his own. Have you ever had a time where maybe God was working behind the scenes in your life? I bet you have. Like he was preparing perfectly the circumstances, and you weren't even aware of what he was doing. Back in the mid-1980s, this college-age guy named Brent Curtis, who lived in Ohio, became a Christian. A couple of years later, he gave his sister, Missy, who was like middle school age, a Bible for Christmas. It was a student Bible, says that on the cover, and a student Bible gives reading plans for teenagers who are new to the Bible so that they can start reading through the Bible. Well, she was angry and offended about him giving her a Bible. She didn't want one. And later in 1988, she graduates from high school. She goes to the University of Buffalo because her first choice of a college turned her down. Well, the University of Buffalo is this large college, and they have freshman orientations every week for 2 months of the summer. At her freshman orientation, Missy was walking with two other girls when a guy yelled down from a dorm window, inviting them up to a party in his room. for some reason, these three girls accept this invitation and go up to the dorm room. Not the smartest thing, but it just so happened that that was also my freshman orientation, and I was in that room at that party. A couple months later, when school started, of the 28,000 students, that girl Missy and I met again. We bumped into each other. Hey, I met you at orientation. And soon I began dating that girl. Well, towards the end of our sophomore year, we were supposed to go out for lunch one Sunday. She was supposed to come to my room to pick me up. She was late. I decided to watch TV. We only got three stations in our dorm room. I didn't have cable. Every station had on stupid religious shows. The preacher on the third channel was talking about the evidence that proves something about Jesus' life. And I was like, what? What evidence? Missy knocks on the door, shows up. I leave, but I kept thinking throughout the day, what was he talking about? What evidence would there be for something that, if it happened at all, was like 2,000 years ago? Missy had a Bible on her bookshelf with her other books. And I was like, hey, that Bible, could I borrow it? She's like, I don't want it. Take it, throw it out if you don't want it. And so I bring it back to my dorm room that night, and I opened it not knowing where to start. I didn't know what to do, but it was a student Bible with a reading plan. So I was like, oh, I'll use that. And as I read the section in the Bible about Jesus, I found that repeatedly it gave the time and the place when different things happened. And I realized, man, there would be evidence. Like I could find out if this stuff really happened. And I spent the next several months investigating it, found volumes of evidence, and finally I decided to become a Christian, and the rest is history. I mean, you look at that, and you have to ask, I think, what if Brent, that guy, Brent Curtis, what if he hadn't become a Christian? What if he hadn't given his sister Missy that Bible? What if Missy had gotten into the college she wanted to? What if we had different orientation weeks? What if that guy who had seen them walking didn't yell down inviting them up to the party? What if they didn't come up to the party? What if I hadn't been at that party? What if I didn't meet her again when school started? What if we hadn't started dating? What if she wasn't late for lunch that day? What if I had more channels to choose from? What if she had shown up just 2 minutes earlier? What if that guy didn't use the word evidence? What if she didn't have a Bible? What if it wasn't a student Bible with a reading plan? A whole string of coincidences? Maybe. But I believe it was a whole string of God incidences. God, behind the scenes, massaging the details, orchestrating circumstances, achieving his purposes. God was in the shadows, keeping watch over his own. And man, I could tell you story after story after story about how God has worked in the shadows of my life. And there are events unfolding right now involving people you've never met, places you've never been, events you've never experienced, circumstances you don't control that are going to significantly impact your life. And years later, you'll look back and say, man, what if I hadn't met that person? What if I hadn't gone to that event? What if I hadn't made that call? And the reality is that God was in the shadows working in your life. You never know what he's using to weave together his will and to do incredible things in your life. All right, now, lights up, scene one, act two of our movie. And if the first act is about an unusual party God uses, act two is about an unusual person God uses. 4 years have passed since the end of act one. Xerxes is finally starting to realize the stupidity of kicking out Vashti. He's been defeated by the Greeks a time or two. He's depressed, sober, lonely. The king's advisors sense his despondency, so they float a suggestion. Let's have a beauty pageant. And the winner of the beauty pageant can be your wife in place of Vashti. The king agrees. And so they have this beauty pageant, and a Jewish man enters his younger cousin named Esther. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 7. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This girl, who was also known as Esther, was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. All right, so we now have the part of Mordecai. Man, casting this part was easy. We called, he wanted the part, Jeff Goldblum. You remember him from all the Jurassic Park movies? And I think Jeff Goldblum would make a great Mordecai, and so he's got the part. Now, Jeff Mordecai Goldblum has this beautiful younger cousin, and once again, I asked my wife Jennifer to cast this part. I'm not doing it. It wasn't easy. She had a lot of people coming in and reading for this part of this young, beautiful girl. She had Zendaya come in, and she had Hailee Steinfeld come in, but in the end, she went with Naomi Scott. Naomi Scott, who was in Aladdin, starred in that. She was also in Charlie's Angels. She is our Esther, okay, in this little movie. Now, if there was a person who God would use in a dramatic way, Esther is one candidate we could just rule out immediately because she had several strikes against her. First, she was Jewish, living in exile in this foreign land. The Jews were conquered foreigners. They were forced to live in this country. That means she had no rights, no power, no esteem, no wealth. Strike one. Second, she was a woman, and in those times, women just tended not to be very respected or given much power. Thank God that's changed. If you go to the Middle East today, things really haven't changed all that much there. You would just never think a woman could get into a position to do something significant at that time. Strike two. Third, she was an orphan. Esther didn't even have parents to look after her. Graciously, her older cousin Mordecai adopted her as his own. But think of the insecurity this must have bred in Esther. Strike three. She is not exactly what you might call well-positioned to be an impact player. But in God's economy, she is perfectly positioned because you never know who God can use and who God will choose. She does have one strength going for her, however, her beauty. Now, we may not think very highly of people who use their beauty to get ahead in life. People have looked down on me because of that, but I will tell you that I am not just a pretty face. Esther was beautiful, which is not something considered very important in the Bible, but it's not only who, you also never know what God is going to use. So Mordecai, Esther's cousin, enters Esther into this beauty pageant, and Esther goes on to do two things that are not in God's will. First, we learn in chapter 2 that Esther hid her nationality and her family background. God had forbidden the Israelites from marrying non-Israelites because intermarrying led to spiritual compromise. And here's Esther hiding her identity and trying to marry a very non-Israelite king. Second, Esther compromises sexually. We learned that part of the beauty contest included spending a night with the king. You know, there was the talent competition, the bathing suit competition, the evening gown competition. And once again, she seems to ignore God's direction because God is so committed in his care for single people and values them so highly, he says, hey, don't have sex with someone who's not committed enough to you and doesn't value you enough to marry you. You need to have a higher value on yourself than that. But Esther ignores that counsel. Now, we might think that the point here is that God will bless you no matter what you do. That's not the point. The point is that God can even use a person like Esther, even someone who doesn't have their act together spiritually. And God can even use you, despite your past and your present imperfections. Like, if you're like me and you don't have the best background, listen, that doesn't disqualify you from God's service. God is the God of the second chance. And if God can use Esther, God can use you. But one more thing, Esther chapter 2, verse 12 says, before a girl's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. So before the girls went to see King Xerxes, they had to go through 12 months of beauty treatments. You talk about a makeover. Man, just think about how torturous those 12 months must have been for Naomi, Scott, Esther. Just waiting and wondering, would she be chosen as the next queen? And so often, it seems that that's how God works. He lets us wait. Wait to see if you'll get the job or not. Wait to see about the results of the surgery. Wait to see if you'll get into the school that you want to go to. Wait to find the right person to marry. And be patient. God never hurries, but he's never late. He accomplishes his will in his timing. And in the meantime, we should do what Esther did. Prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves to be useful for God's purpose for our lives. Well, finally, the big day arrived. The time came for Esther to go in to see the king, and he considered her the most beautiful woman in the land, and Esther became queen. And we're going to discover that that put Esther in the perfect position to change the course of history for God and his purposes. Coincidence or God incidence? God was in the shadows, keeping watch over his own, working to accomplish his purposes. And what happens next is, well, it's actually kind of shocking. Like, this story gets crazy, but you're going to have to come back next week if you want to hear what happens. Real quick, before we go, something for you to think about and apply to your life. Okay? First, never underestimate what God will use. Okay? Today we saw him use a party. It may be a party that he uses in your life. It may be a trip to the grocery store or a business meeting, a phone call. You don't know what events God will use in your life, and you need to be ready. You also don't know what gifts God will use. You may not feel like you're especially gifted or that you're someone God could use to do amazing things. But Esther was from the wrong background, the wrong gender, the wrong family. She's not pure and holy. She denies being one of God's people, and God uses her. And what gift does he use of hers? Her looks, something that even God says is unimportant, but God uses it in a profound way. And if you're available to him, man, God will use you and your gifts and your talents, whatever they are, in a profound way to impact the world. In fact, if you survey the people in the Bible and in the world today who God has used in amazing ways, you'll see that they're pretty unamazing people. Nothing incredible, but people who allowed God to use them. People who gave their lives to God. is that you? They are people who drew close to God. Is that you? They were people who were willing to do whatever God told them to do. Is that you? One way you can know is, are you currently doing what he's told you to do? Like, God has told you to share your faith, to give generously, to serve, to forgive. Are you doing what he's told you to do? Man, if you will, if you're available, he will do great things in and through your life. He will. So make sure you tune in next week to hear what happens next in the crazy next scene of our blockbuster movie, In the Shadows. It's wild. It's crazy. It's really good. For now, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then our band is going to lead us in a song. And we do songs because they allow us to connect with God, and we're able to let him know how he feels and understand how he feels about us. And if you want to sing along wherever you are, you might be in your bed, your living room, your car, wherever you are, you could sing along, or you could just listen to the words of this song and let them speak to you. So let me pray, and then we'll do that, and then we'll close out our service. God, thank you for this incredible story of Esther, this book in the Bible that shows us that, man, God, you're not mentioned in the book, but you are all over this book doing amazing things to change Esther's life and to change the world. And if we would just let ourselves be used by you, if we'd be willing to do whatever it is that you have for us to do, and you would change our lives and you would use us to change the world. God, would you do that in us? I pray all these things, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.